Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Would you look at that opening shot on CBS Sports Network?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Rome. And if you're watching on that same network, there is the crew. Oh, look who's back. Lil Alvy. I've got three people on the other side of the glass. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Quick question. Did you denim up and did you back it in? I tried, but I failed. Well, I denimed up, but I was unable to back it in because somebody was parked right in front of my garage. It's all right. I rallied. You would not believe the rally I had in me. Like, dude moved his car, and then I backed it in. I didn't shut down at the first sign of adversity. And believe me, that's adversity. You don't want to see somebody parked in front of your garage at 5 a.m. I manned up, man. There's manning up and there's manning down. I man the hell up. And I backed that thing in. What's cracking? All right, so the show sets up like this. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Use it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The Friday episode of The Jungle sets up like this. Coming up at 40 past, Sam Amick, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Coming up next hour, Buffalo Bills cornerback Jordan Poyer. Coming up in hour number three, Green Bay Packers linebacker Christian Kirksey. In and around all of that, I will check in with the guy who has the biggest head in America. The flight deck, James Kelly, is coming off an enormous week one with his picks. He will be back with more picks. That's coming up in hour number two. Alvin is here, meaning there will be a week that was in hour number three. Got a lot of good stuff to get to. And I'm getting ready for my first appearance on the NFL on CBS this season, which is going to be Sunday. We are properly socially distanced. If you watched that show last week, you saw the guys on the set. They were socially distanced. I will be socially distanced from them. Not by 6 feet, but by 3,000 miles. I'm ready to roll. All right, let me start with this. Well. What do we have here? Well. Look who's back. America's team, the Cleveland Browns. And yes, I will now accept your apologies. Every last one of your apologies. How could anybody anywhere at any time doubt America's team and America's quarterback? I mean, honestly, it's offensive. It's insulting. You should be grateful as hell that we would even think about accepting your apologies. Except I'm like that. That's the kind of guy I am. I am like that. And by like that, I mean I'm a bigger person than you. I don't carry grudges. Everybody makes mistakes. Especially those who doubted America's team. Those who doubted America's team, America's quarterback, and America's sports talk show host. I mean, come on, do better. Be better. Because ever since Sunday afternoon, you've heard all the chatter. No, correction. You've heard the slander. You've heard people saying the Browns are a bust again. This is not the team that everybody thought they were going to be. It just doesn't work. It's busted. You can't fix it. This is Cleveland going Cleveland again. And then you were coming in here with all your idiotic takes about the city being ugly and the oh-so-refreshing or fresh resets of the river catching on fire. Then there was the talk that Baker Mayfield's just not that good, that he was a flash in the pan. All that talk about how Odell Beckham Jr. should be traded, that Kevin Stefanski was just another in a long line of guys who could not turn this thing around. Everybody was having a good old time at Cleveland's expense, but not the Browns. They weren't buying into that noise. They were not getting rattled by any of that bull crap. They weren't, and I wasn't. You want to question them? That's fine. You go right ahead. Do it at your own risk. But they know better because they know what they've got. And here's what they've got. They've got this. Cleveland, 35. Cincinnati, 30. Let me tell you what else they got. Baker Mayfield, 2 TDs and a passer rating of 110.6. They've got Myles Garrett with a strip sack. They've got Nick Chubb with 124 yards rushing and 2 TDs. Did I or did I not say on this show yesterday that he was a top five back? And did you or did you not come at me when I said it? Yeah, well, I accept your apology on that too. Kareem Hunt, more than 100 yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns. Did I or did I not say that Chubb and Hunt were the best tandem backs in the league? And did you or did you not come at me equally hard for that statement? Yeah, and for that, I accept your apology again. Because, again, I am the bigger person, the more understanding person, the more empathetic person, the more forgiving person, the more mature person, the more evolved person. And most of all, I am used to being right, and you have never once admitted to being wrong. I get it. But even those numbers do not do it justice, because the Cleveland Browns are not just about stats. They're about that action, boss. They're about that action, boss. And this was the action. This was prime time under the lights action. Prime time is when the stars come out to shine, and C-Town was sparkling like a bleeping diamond last night. Baker Mayfield.
Diamonds on my wrist.
That's where they are, man. Baker Mayfield, who launched his career on a Thursday night in September, did what he does in prime time in September, did what he does on the big stage. He came out firing, completed his first 5 passes. He was electric. You could see him setting the tone. You could see the swagger was back. The rest of the team also prepared. Here's Nick Chubb with a first quarter TD.
High formation behind Mayfield. Second back through is Chubb. He's got it. Cuts back inside the 5. Still going at the 2. Barreling his way in at the 1. Touchdown, 11 yards out. How about Nick Chubb carrying defenders with him to the end zone? And the Browns have the lead 6-3.
Why didn't you listen? Why didn't you listen to me, man? I told you yesterday. Stud. Top 5 back. Oh, but you're impressed by that ground game. Are you getting suckered into that and putting too many guys in the box in the hopes of stopping the law firm of Chubb and Hunt, suckers? Because now Baker Mayfield is going over the top to Odell Beckham Jr. for a TD.
Hunt in the game. They fake the give to him. Mayfield sets, throws deep downfield. Watch Beckham. Got him. Inside the 5. Touchdown, Browns. Oh, baby, if they've been waiting for that in Cleveland, they've been talking about Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. Well, they connect right there for 42 in the score.
How about that dime? Oh, yeah, he's no good. ODB's no good. Get rid of that guy. Trade him. Hell no. That's the Baker Mayfield everybody was expecting. The Baker Mayfield that I knew would show up last night. That was the Odell Beckham Jr. everybody was expecting and that I knew would show up last night. And that was the play action bootleg that everybody was expecting that I knew would show up last night. The play action bootleg wasn't there in week one. Of course. Did you think that Kevin Stefanski was just going to forget about that play? Did you think he forgot that Baker Mayfield thrives outside of the pocket, on the move, where he can wreak havoc? Of course not. Stefanski, just like the entire team and organization, knows this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. You don't open up your full arsenal in the season opener. They held some back for the Natty, and then they started to unload. Earlier in the week, Beckham said, this is important now. I need to get off to a good start.
It's like okay. A shooter putting up a couple threes early, like, and you hit 1-2 of them, like, God knows you might drop 60. You know what I mean? So this is how I feel. I would love, you know, to get involved early.
That's it. That's exactly right. And it was a damn good start. He and Baker were like Clay and Steph, hitting from deep. You felt like they could go for 60. But let's shake it up again. We've shown you we can punish you with a Pro Bowl wide receiver. How about wreaking some havoc with that back out of the backfield? Baker Mayfield to Kareem Hunt, who you know is going to make guys miss and make a big play.
Mayfield takes the shotgun snap, back, rolls right, throws, got a man wide open. Touchdown, Kareem Hunt. Browns are in the end zone again. 6 yards to pay dirt. It is 20-10 Cleveland.
There's a phrase to describe that. Wide ass open. But Cincinnati now, they're tough enough. They bow up. They stop the Browns on fourth and goal. Yeah, well, no problem. The defense has this. Why don't you meet Myles Garrett and Porter Gustin?
This is a test for Joe Burrow here on third down and 9 from his own 12. Burrow back to pass. Hit as he does. That ball's free on the ground and live. Cleveland's on top of it at the 1 yard line. It was knocked out of Burrow's hands by Myles Garrett and picked up by the Browns' Joe Jackson at the 1 yard line where the Browns will take over. What a big defensive play.
Such a big defensive play. And I'm not done yet. Why don't you try another Nick Chubb rushing touchdown off for size? And don't you ever disrespect this beast or me ever again.
And goal from the one. This time he gives to Chubb. Starts right, cuts back left, spins into the end zone. Touchdown Browns. Nick Chubb, they extend the lead. It's 27-13.
Man, and don't you ever sleep on Kareem Hunt either.
Mayfield turns, gives to Hunt, right side, fighting his way in. That is a touchdown for the Browns. How about that drive? We talked about grounding it and pounding it, and that's exactly what they did in the direction of the dog pound.
That is winning football.
That is winning football. That's winning life. That's how you bounce back. They get punched in the face by Baltimore. They taste their own blood. And then they dole out an ass-kicking of their own. That's what champions do. That's what the city of Cleveland does.
Cleveland!
When Muhammad Ali was down, did you count him out?
When Muhammad Ali was down, did you count him out?
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
This is the comeback.
This is the game, Doug!
Did you see Nick Chubb? This is the game. Woo!
Did you see DeMarco Murray? This is the game, Doug! Woo!
So for anybody who counted Cleveland out Sunday, I've got one word. Embarrassing. Shame the hell on you for giving up and quitting. Because that's not what C-Town's about. Never count out Cleveland. Cleveland is out when Cleveland says they're out. And even then, they're not out. They're just lulling you into a false sense of security. The old alley rope-a-dope. And I knew this was coming. The most predictable thing of all. Don't you come in here and tell me, hey, Rome, it was just the Bengals. It was just the Cincinnati Bengals. These are the same Cincinnati Bengals who gave the Los Angeles Chargers all they could handle. The same Cincinnati Bengals who have plenty of weapons and the most pro-ready rookie quarterback ever. Those Bengals. The Bengals have been in the hunt for the title of second best professional football team in Ohio for years. You will not disrespect them on my watch either. And no, Baker was not perfect. Yes, he threw that pick in that game that kept Cincinnati in it. He's a genius, man. Baker knew what he was doing. You have to test yourself. Listen, you do not want to be peaking in September. As I told you on Monday, this is not a team built to win in September. They're built to win in December and January. They're not looking to be September champions. They're looking to be something much bigger than that. The NFL Network. The postgame show, they tried to set Baker up to say that he woke up feeling dangerous yesterday. He's not taking the bait. He's locked in. And this is just the beginning. This is what he had to say afterwards.
I think that's going to build confidence for us and us playing complimentary football with the defense. That's the scary part is if we start clicking and keep getting better, this is going to be a fun ride.
All right, so that's the only thing. That is the only thing that I would take exception with that Baker said or that Baker did. When Baker said, quote, if we start clicking. Broham, when you start clicking. And when was last freaking night. But you're right about the other part. It is going to be a great ride. The best ride. And all you chirping before this beatdown, don't be bitter. Be better. There is still room left on America's team's bandwagon. And if you're smart, You'll snatch up one of the remaining seats, and you will be glad that you did. Just know this. America's team is not back. They never left. Apology accepted. Because I am bigger than you in that regard. 1-800-636-8686. This is for you. This is for all of you. Okay, let's see the grip of predictable reaction. Wells in the 360. The Bengals have 2 wins in their last 18 games. Their quarterback was playing in his second NFL game, and it was on the road. Wow, so impressive that America's team pulled out a 5-point win. Let's see how they do against a team who hasn't lost 16 of 18 games. Wow, Wells, that's pretty smart. I got some more numbers for you, Wells. Every single tweet that you've ever sent to this program has been horrible. You're 0 for the world, Wells. You hear what I just said? Wells in the 720. You are 0 for the world, bro. Try that for data. Let's see. Kevin Godley. You know the Browns play the Bengals, right?
Take that for data.
Good take, Godley. Yeah, I'm well aware of that, Godley. I just did a whole take on it. I know who they played. The most predictable thing in the world ever was, hey, Rome, you know they played the Bengals, right? Did you watch the Bengals? Do you see the weapons that they have? Joe Burrow, have you seen this guy? Joe Burrow is the most pro-ready quarterback prospect I have ever seen. Not only, hey, Rome, that was just his second game. Right. Have you ever seen a guy with that kind of poise and composure? His second game after an offseason where there were no preseason games or OTAs. They're a hell of a lot better and a hell of a lot more dangerous than you're giving them credit for. Most predictable response ever. Hey, Rome, you know they played the Bengals, right? Yeah, great take. Let me tell you something. Bengals, 72 Dolphins, 85 Bears. It doesn't matter, geniuses. They weren't losing last night. The Bengals gave the Chargers hell in week one. Let's see, JP3, before you puff out your chest too much, the Browns beat the Bengals. The Bengals. This is why I have the show and why you tweet the show. One trick pony. Bengals, Rome, That's all you got? They beat the Bengals? It could have been the 72 Dolphins. You could have had Merck, Greasy, Zonk, and the fellas back there. Jim Kick, Don Shula, would not have mattered. Would not have mattered. Jamie in Green Bay, we'd like to apologize to absolutely no one. Easy to jump on the Browns again after playing the Bungles. Let me tell you clowns something. I read your crappy tweets on this show every single day, and you can't own this? Again, apology accepted. Mike D for three. The one crappy Ohio team beat the other crappy Ohio team. Someone throw a parade. You know, that'd be like me saying, the one crappy tweeter, you, followed the other crappy tweeters, them. Somebody throw a parade. Hitman Canadian, the only one issuing an apology is the NFL for booking that dumpster fire matchup. Let me tell you something else. Thursday night matchups usually are crappy. Not that one. May have been a flag or two too many, but don't tell me that wasn't entertaining. Tommy from NC. Cleveland was on fire last night. Regards people looking at the river burning. 25 years ago, called Tommy. Burning. They want their joke back. That's all you've got. It was only the Bengals and the river's on fire. Fresh stuff. Would you send me an OJ take while you're at it? Come on, man. Do better. Do better. Don't be bitter, be better. If you know anything about me, I'm accountable and responsible. But when I'm right, and you're all coming that hard at me, you're going to hear it. America's team, 1-800-636-8686. Anybody else want to hit on that? All right, some other topics. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could do this for 3 hours. I should do this for 3 hours. But that'd be lazy. I want to talk about the Miami Heat. The Heat come back again on the Celtics. The Celtics meltdown in their locker room, allegedly, after that game. Is there another implosion going on? We will get into all that. I want to talk about one of the greatest ejections ever in Major League Baseball. I want to talk about the big head, James Kelly. He's coming in with his picks for the weekend. I've got the week that was coming up in hour number three. I've got some good interviews and a lot more. Pick up the phone. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. You know, it was so nice to see teams back in action for week one. And remember, there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has got millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you have not tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store right now because you do not want to miss this. Draft your lineup right now. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means a lot more with DraftKings. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code ROME. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Do not miss out on the Week 2 action. Enter the code ROME, R-O-M-E, and get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes with your first deposit. Codename ROME, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I can name that band in one note. Cool and the Gang. Now I'll be throwing it back. Man, that sounds good. You've got to be resilient. You know how hard it is to bounce back after a grip of horrible tweets? For anybody else, it'd be really hard. Not for me. Because I lived that life. Just like I bounced back after seeing that guy park right in front of my garage. That was something else. So the way our deal is set up here, you know, for the longest time, I've always said to you on Friday, all right, let me backtrack. One step back. We pride ourselves on dressing business casual. Not like old man business casual, but I've just always done that. Long before there was a simulcast and before we put the radio program on TV, like nobody saw what it looked like. We were dressing business casual. I try to be kind of professional in the way I went about this every single day. You know, so time moves on. And if you watch TV right now, and especially during the pandemic, people are getting more and more casual, more and more casual. You see guys kind of dressing down suits with sneaks and kicks. That's fine. I get it. It's not my thing, but I get it. I'm just saying I understand that times change, styles change, the fit changes. You know, I'm just still kind of old school with it. However, that said, I learned early on, if you give the crew a carrot or a bone or something to look forward to on a Friday, it's good for morale. So dress it down on a Friday. We go casual dress Friday. And then we figured out something early on too. Kyle Brandt and I used to talk about this. Something else that for whatever reason was really cool. If you change up on Friday, not only in the way you dress, but maybe even the way you park, it's something to look forward to. It distinguishes Friday. So we said, denim up, back it in. And it was amazing that when I'd roll out of the studio on a Friday, if I pulled my car straight out and left, that was a cool thing. I'm not really sure why that is. I just know that it was. So that's the way I did it. And we were in this other building before the building we're in right now for a long time. I'd back it in. In the building that I'm in, where we've now been for what, Adam, 3 years plus? We built a garage. It's a single car garage. Yeah, I know. Look at you, Rome. At me on that too. Anyway, it's a different setup. It's a different building. It's a different environment. We built out a garage. All right, I'm not going to apologize for that either. I apologize for absolutely nothing. The thing about the garage is I've never backed it in. Not once in 3 years. Believe that or not. I've denimed up every Friday. I've never backed it in. It makes me a hypocrite. I'm telling you to do something that I do not do myself. So I'm coming to work this morning. Typical Van Smack morning. Up at 4:45, out the door, and there it is. I'm almost to work, and I think to myself, you know what? Today's the day. America's team did what I knew they would do. I can't wait to get on the air and talk about it. Today is the day. The first time in 3 years, I'm backing in. Backing into my garage. I roll in there, big-ass pickup truck, on a diagonal slant, right in front of my garage. Dude, it was 5:10 in the morning. Hawk was the only one here. He's parked on the other side. There are parking spots everywhere. Right. This car is right in front of my garage.
Right in my...
Damnedest thing. I'm like, I guess I'm not backing it in today. So we find the guy who's got the car. He's like, my bad, man. I'm really sorry. I came in the middle of the night. I just left it there and I forgot. He's like, by the way, you might want to move your car out from underneath that tree. There's a lot of sap dropping off that tree. I'm like, I know, brother. I try to put it in my garage where I put it every day. It's a garage. But I couldn't because you were diagonally parked in front of me. That'll happen. Except it happened on the first time in 3 years when I tried to back it in. It's incredible.
Yeah, it happens.
I'd say it was the first time it happened. It's the first time that it's happened where I've tried to back it in. Actually, it's not the first time it's happened. It's happened a lot.
Happens to us all.
Point of the story is this. You can face adversity and melt down and quit, or you can park your tree under a car and wait for the guy to move his truck like I did and then back it in, which is also what I did. Another win for Van Smack. I got some grit, yo. I got some grit. You know what I did? I went in the office, did some work, came back outside the office, and moved my car. Hell yeah, I did. Let's see as we go to break. Dear Jimmy, for Casual Friday, did Ike go without his monocle and top hat? Signed, Casey in New Hampshire. We're old man Ritt keeping a comb in his pocket. As long as it's one of those switchblade combs.
Game on.
Daniel tweets, hopefully nobody parks in front of your garage before you leave because we know you don't pay attention when leaving the garage. Signed, Janet. Good point, Dan. Got me there. Dear Jim, we did it. We did it. We almost covered against the worst team in the league at home. Look out, world. It's a new dawn.
We did it.
Signed, America's meme. Brett in Bugaha. Hey, Brett. Don't be the zit on this show's ass. Come on, man. Do better. I'm getting sick of having to tell you all to do better. How about that backdoor cover? Were you on the right side or the wrong side of that last night? All right, when we come back, I think we'll do some interviews. I know this. I'm not taking any more of your horrible tweets. Sam Amick joins me on the other side of this, but first... here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Friday is always an ATP day. Ask the pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. Listen later on. I might answer yours, but probably not. Probably Bella B's. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. Or you know what? If you're on hold, just hang up. Hang up if you're going to say the same tired, played-out thing about the Browns and who they beat last night. Go ahead, hang up. You can listen if you want. Thank you very much, Alvy. In the meantime, we are joined by a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, host of the Tampering Podcast. My man Sam Amick is back. Sam, before we get into everything else, how is life inside the bubble treating you these days?
Romy, what is going on, my friend? We are hanging in. I was just telling Adam offline that it takes you a couple weeks to get your feet under you inside the bubble and learn about how to move and where you go to eat and where you go to sleep and what you can do, what you can't do. But we're getting there, and I'm coming to you poolside. So it could be worse. We're just hanging out on a a fairly slow day inside the bubble leading up to tonight's game.
My man, I love that. I love that you're poolside. You earned that, Sam. All right, so Miami goes up 2-0 on Boston last night. What do you make of the performance from the Heat, and then in particular, what it did psychologically and emotionally to Boston?
Yeah, it was a lot. And I tell you, the one unique thing about covering things in the bubble is, obviously, if you were having to travel all over the country to see these teams in person, you just wouldn't get the same type of exposure. Sorry about the background noise, brother. Somebody just did a cannonball there.
I like it.
The Heat clearly have the ability to kind of steal team souls, and they did it against Milwaukee, and they are together for 48 minutes. And what jumped out to me post-game after that chaotic Celtics locker room scene was Jaylen Brown really kind of, I thought, hit the nail on the head. He talked about the togetherness and how the Heat are together for 48 minutes and the Celtics weren't last night. And then the Bucks before them, it's not just Jimmy Butler, but he is a massive part of it. Now you're seeing the emergence, you know, even more so of Bam Adebayo. Goran Dragic was fantastic last night. So that group has something special, and they're taking it to everybody they play right now.
We're talking to Sam Amick. So in terms of them snatching souls, for instance, I mean, I could say to you, was it one bad night, but it's two bad nights. But where does that leave them? In other words, if you're Brad Stevens, how concerned are you about the chemistry and the emotions of your team?
Yeah, I think you're worried. It's funny to compare maybe the Clippers and the Celtics. You know, the Clippers just absolutely fell apart. They had no togetherness. There was nothing there. I don't think the Celtics are up against it in that regard from a team chemistry togetherness standpoint, but they just don't have what the Heat have. I would be worried if I was Brad. You know, Arshan Shirani at The Athletic had put something out this morning with more detail on the locker room scene, and it sounds like it was very much a Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown kind of frustration moment, and other assistant coaches involved. Marcus is just a fiery dude. We've known that, you know, for a long time now. And Jaylen, I thought, I tell you, to sit in the room and hear him talk, you know, minutes after that kind of a moment in the locker room was so impressive, because he really centered himself and sat there actually sharing a lot of love for Marcus and talking about that's why we love him, that's why we need him. And so maybe that kind of spirit is enough with Jaylen playing a leadership role to quickly bring them back together. But it was really hot, and so we'll see how they respond.
Sam Amick, poolside, inside the bubble. Sam, one thought about Jimmy Butler. A couple of weeks back, you did have a conversation with him at practice. What was that chat like, and what was your biggest takeaway from it?
It's funny, because the last time I had talked to Jimmy at any great length was the night before, you know, in a one-on-one setting, was the night before he got traded to Philly, and he was still with the T-Wolves, and they were in Sacramento. And it just a bizarre night, because they lost. He was not happy. Yeah, he kind of went off in our interview afterwards. And at that time, you know, like I've told him since, he had the black hat on. He was the NBA villain. He was the bad guy. And everything that he stood for and everything that he was about was, for the most part, perceived as a bad thing within that environment. He was too hard on Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. You know, he was too much. He was too over the top. And then, as he's been saying ever since, and like we talked about in this latest interview, I mean, he's like a guy that just found his soulmate. You know what I mean? Like, this culture, this organization with the Heat from Pat Riley on down, they're kind of about that basketball life in the same exact way that he is. And it's fun to watch. I mean, there's a little ritual after the Heat win games that I keep making a point to you know, make sure I don't miss, is they walk off the floor. And the security guy for the Heat, and I wish I knew his name, but he's this real friendly dude, super kind of stacked, swole guy. He'll grab Jimmy and he'll grab the other players, and he'll point up to the second deck where Pat Riley is sitting with Andy Ellisberg, the Heat GM. And it's a respect, kind of a, you know, like Pat's the Don, and they got to make sure they point to him, you know, fist pump, whatever it might be, and enjoy the moment. And that's the whole thing, is the togetherness is not just in the locker room. I mean, it goes all the way to the top, too.
That's culture. Culture and fit. That's great. Sam Amick is joining us. And Sam, you mentioned the Clippers. You've had a few days to think about their collapse. And in fact, back in January, you actually had a piece on their chemistry issues back in January. So how much of blowing that 3-1 lead and those double-digit leads in each of the final three games goes back to that?
Yeah, I think there's a through line there for sure. And it's funny, Jim, when we wrote that piece, I mean, teams get upset all the time about different things we might write because, you know, we obviously don't work for them and we're not here to be publicists. But that one in particular, they were hot and they were not happy. And there was a lot of pushback towards the idea that, you know, that we reported that there was some friction internally. Now, we never said there was anything explosive in terms of even like a Celtics-type situation, but you had this meshing of the old Clippers with the new Clippers and a belief system difference, I think, that they had to work their way through. Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Pat Beverly kind of represented the guys who were the underdogs who went farther than people thought they'd go last year, took pride in that, you know, but they're the kind of guys that want to play 48 minutes, you know, don't take days off, stuff like that. Then you had the load management crew coming in with Kawhi Leonard, to a lesser degree, Paul George, and that culture clash. And, you know, from that story however many months ago to the other night, I mean, you can see it playing as day. I mean, it's been reported now that, you know, Montrez and Paul got into it. Jim, I was sitting 20 feet away from the Clippers bench in Game 7, my favorite press seat in the bubble because you can really see what's going on. And they had about 7 minutes left, and they're down, I think, 13. And I'm looking at it going, all right, 13's not insurmountable, but their bench had gone from very spirited earlier in the game to golf claps and, you know, and heads on the ground. I mean, their spirit was completely gone, and that translated on the court too. You know, they waved the white flag. They gave up. So it was one of the more embarrassing finishes that I can remember for a top team.
No doubt. Sam Amick is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. So, Sam, back in January, you pointed out that when things went sour in San Antonio surrounding Kawhi and his injury, then he goes to Toronto and he wins it all, and that erased some of the issues surrounding team chemistry as it related to Kawhi's injury. So if you had to guess or if you had an opinion, how big a part is Kawhi in all this?
I just think, I mean, this is, you know, when a guy's an MVP caliber talent and in the conversation for best player on the planet, then inherently he's going to be nitpicking, right? So just to be clear, we are nitpicking. The guy's incredible. But I think what we've learned is that from a leadership standpoint, you know, the best formula for Kawhi is to be around people like a Kyle Lowry, who is vocal, you know, and even a Serge Ibaka, who, you know, talks a lot with his teammates. I think maybe we didn't, you know, Kyle's gotten a lot of love, but I think even not enough last season for the part he played in terms of their chemistry, and the Clippers didn't have that guy. You know, Pat Beverly is vocal, but it's not, he doesn't come with the, you know, same level of gravitas that a Kyle Lowry does. You know, he is a role player, and Kyle Lowry is an all-star. Paul George is, there's no negative side to, you know, that I've ever heard when it comes to kind of who he is as a teammate, but he doesn't have that voice. He's not that guy like a Kyle Lowry. And I think, you know, what we're seeing is that someone's got to fill that void around Kawhi because he's just not that guy either.
We're talking to Sam Amick for a few more moments. Sam, wasn't that something like NBA Twitter is still a thing, a great thing? Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were having a great old time watching the Clippers get run out in Game 7. There, of course, is some history between the Clippers and the Blazers. But overall, what is your sense as to what players from other teams thought about this Clippers team? Were they also happy to see L.A. go down the way they went down?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of wrote about that today a little bit. Sometimes we, you know, just because you see superstars always saying nice things about each other in press conferences, that's not necessarily the real stuff. These guys are bitter competitors, and you saw that come out with those tweets from Damian and CJ. Now, you know, the Clippers lit that fire, right? Because Pat and Marquise Morris were laughing at Damian when he missed his free throws in that one seeding game, and so, you know, turnabout's fair play. But I actually, yesterday, I wanted to try to get perspective from the Lakers duo, from LeBron and AD on the Clippers' demise. And, you know, they weren't falling for it. They weren't having it. They took the high road and just said, you know, we're focused on ourselves. But I do think there's probably that element that there's a class of superstar that the Damian Lillard type that doesn't love it when players are so transactional in terms of their own career pursuits, if you will. And they, you know, there's a gray area there. Everybody's got the right to work where they want to work, but the way that Paul and Kawhi put that thing together is very, very different than a ground-up type of approach like the Nuggets are doing right now, and to a lesser degree, the Raptors, how they did it. So I think there was probably some guys that were happy, but it was something to see. I mean, I'll never forget three-pointers from Paul bouncing off the backboard, Kawhi missing at the rim. I mean, it was like that old Space Jam scene where the guys lose their talents. It was something else.
No, seriously, right? I mean, Paul George, Pandemic P, shooting off the side of the glass was something else, and these guys couldn't wait to get to their phones. It's great entertainment. Listen, before you go, you mentioned the Nuggets. I think that right there is an amazing organization. I love the way they put that thing together. How do you see that matchup going, and what is the biggest concern for the Lakers in this series?
The biggest concern for the Lakers is Jokic picking them apart. I think, and they've got bodies to put on him, and they can make it hard on him. I was going to go with Jamal, but I think, you know, Jokic is the fulcrum of what they do. You know, they kind of operate inside out from him. But right there with Jokic is Jamal and his kind of streakiness and the fact that he's not nearly as hot and cold as he used to be even during the regular season. He's really found a rhythm. He's locked in. We had a great conversation the other day where I don't know if you happen to see it, Jim, but it cracked me up. The man takes a five-hour nap before these games in the bubble. Like, he used to take a two-hour nap, but because he's decided that he's here for the job, he's here to play ball, that he doesn't see a point in doing anything else, so he rests for 5 hours before each game, and that's after sleeping for 8 hours the night before.
It's incredible.
It showed a level of focus and dedication that he even said, he goes, from a mental health standpoint, you know, players don't really enjoy being in the bubble for this long. And so he's just kind of simplifying things and trying to be the best player he can be. So those two guys are going to be a handful. And then, you know, the Lakers, obviously, the threat they pose on the Nuggets side, you know, LeBron and AD, and it's going to be about their role players. Can they hit some threes? You know, can they get out in transition? I know the Nuggets want to slow them down big time. That's a huge focus. So I think it should be a fun series. And we should have learned by now not to sleep too much on the Nuggets. You know, I'm not here predicting any kind of sweep, but I think ultimately the Lakers probably get through.
I'm with you. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, host of the Tampering Podcast, and poolside from the bubble, Sam Amick. Great job, Sam. Appreciate you. Always. No one better. There is our number one, Smooth and Easy. Coming right back with a second hour. Jordan Poyer next hour, the big head James Kelly next hour, your phone calls next hour. Stay tuned.